Our scripture reading for this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, New King James Version. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Send the light. The song we just sang, it's one of the favorites that brethren in Mexico have. Number 71 in their book. They enjoy singing Da La Luz, Send the Light. And whenever American English speakers are there, blending their voices with the Spanish speakers, singing that song together, it just sounds wonderful. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. It's a privilege to be able to be here. I've heard of the congregation through Brother Mike Bonner. He and I have met at times past up in the Midwest lectures up in Independence, Missouri. And then, of course, with Brother Brian and his family and his parents back in Arkansas many years ago. All of them are known here and in other places for the love of God, for their love of truth, for the love of brethren, and for the love of taking the gospel to other people. And so it's a blessing that they are here to this congregation. It's wonderful they're here. And also we can all be here to worship God in spirit and in truth this morning. I've only been to San Angelo one other time, and that was last year as I took a group down to Ozona, Texas, for doing a door knocking and gospel meeting and all that kind of thing. And so we had to pick two people up from the airport, one a sister that they know, Sister Lois McNeely from Kansas City, Missouri. She was participating in that. And then another sister, Diane, from Iowa. And they flew to San Angelo. We drove from Arkansas, stopped in Mesquite, picked up a couple there as well, and went on down to Ozona. So that's the only time I've been here. Back in the 20s, I had a great aunt and her husband and family move out to San Angelo, and they live around here somewhere. I met her once. So that's my connection to San Angelo from back. But it's a wonderful town, I think. It seems to be. People talk highly of it. You talk highly of it. And it's a privilege to be here with you this morning as we come together to study from God's Word. I know that you are a mission-minded congregation because mission-mindedness begins at home. And I know that you're taking the gospel here into the area. You've had evangelism workshops. You've had people come in and talk specifically about that. And that has to be a goal, and that's obviously one of your goals here at 9th and Main, to be able to take the gospel. And just talking with some of you, I know that some of you have learned the gospel and you were taught the gospel even here in this town. So that is a priority. So sending the light, being a mission-minded congregation, being the mission-minded church that God wants us to be, being mission-minded not only as a group of people, but also individually as we live in this world throughout the week is something that's very important. But what does it mean to be mission-minded? I want us to consider some things from God's Word this morning, and as we can look at this subject, thinking about mission-mindedness. First of all, I believe that as we're going to be mission-minded, it means that we're going to be having the mind of Christ himself. Remember, Jesus had a mind, as it told us there, it was his mind, it was his attitude, it was his thinking there in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in those passages that teaches us about the mind of Christ. And so he had a mind that caused him to leave this earth, heaven, to come to this earth. He had a mind, an attitude, which was his love, his desire for the salvation of all. And that's really what we're talking about. It's a talking about the salvation of people. You know, we want the church to grow, and we think about church growth, but we're really talking about the salvation of people. It's not about just building up numbers. It's about individual people that are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they are obeying that gospel, being added to the Lord's church, such as in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And there is fulfilling, in a sense, the mind of Christ. Remember that Jesus said, let this mind be in you that was also, or Paul wrote, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And that's the mind that we want to have, the mind of Christ. And his mind brought him to this earth, but his mind also caused him to see things the way that they really were. You remember in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 36, there Jesus, we see some of the motivation of Jesus, as it says there that, but when Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, those, that number of people, the great number of people, that they were just like sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion upon them. And that's the world that we live in as well. And as Jesus looks about today, as he looks about through us, through our eyes, as we see this world, sheep without a shepherd. And it doesn't matter where you go, whether it's in San Angelo, whether it's in Little Rock, Arkansas, or whether you go down to Mexico or some other country in this world, people are wandering around as sheep without a shepherd. We, having the mind of Christ, can help them in that situation. And Jesus' mindset was that he saw and had compassion on them. And that's what we've got to have, that mind of compassion as well. That mind of compassion that enabled him to go and to help them to understand. That's what will motivate us. It's not just simply because we are wanting to see the church grow. Everybody loves to see the church grow. We all want to see congregations grow. We all want to see more people. But it's the reason is the love and the compassion that Jesus has for them. And when we have the mind of the love and the compassion for them, we'll understand then that need that there are sheep that are without a shepherd. And they need to be taught. Now, Jesus went forth and he did that. Remember back in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and other passages, Jesus went out to preach. Jesus had compassion upon them, and he went out to preach. Jesus, as he saw the other situation in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 38 and 39, there, as he saw the situation, he said, the Lord of harvest, the harvest is plenteous. And he said, pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers. Pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth reapers to go out into the fields because they're white and to harvest. There's always someone out there. There's always someone out there that is seeking. There's always someone out there that is looking. We may not know who that person is, but going, taking the gospel to this world will enable us to meet and to find that person. And so having the mind of Christ means having, as he left heaven for the great love, for God so loved the world, Jesus loved the world. It was a compassion that he had for this world, but it's also seeing that need that there is, that need of the gospel being taken to people. And that's really where we are as Christians today. As the fields are white into harvest, but yet the laborers are few. And sometimes we might feel as if it's overwhelming. As we see the great numbers of people that are out there, and we don't know these people, then how are we going to contact these people? And I know that you've had an evangelism time of evangelism and teaching to help with some of those ideas and trying to implement some of those. It's not magic. It's simply people trying to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the compassion. We'll ask. We'll pray. We'll pray. As he said, pray that the Lord of harvest ask, seek God and his help. And so we will pray without ceasing that we may be able to reach those people in this world. But what did Jesus do? We go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 says, from that time on, Jesus went out to preach. He began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was a message. There was a place that he was trying to lead them to. And that was to the kingdom of heaven. And his preaching over and over throughout the book of Matthew and Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was about the kingdom and that kingdom coming. And he was trying to direct them to that kingdom, that church that he would establish. And that's part of what we're trying to do as well. We're trying to direct them to the kingdom that's already been established. There are so many more examples in the New Testament of the Bible about Jesus and the way that he had compassion on people. But it was all to lead them, always to lead them to salvation. It was always to lead them to believe in him. It was always to lead them to respond to the message that he was teaching and the message that he was preaching. Because he had compassion for the spiritual condition of those people. And so really that's a question that we have to answer ourselves is, do we have compassion for people? Do we have compassion for the spiritual condition that they're in? If we have the mind of Christ, that'll help us to have that compassion for them. But the mind of Christ also understood some things, and that was he understood the truth and the commission. Jesus was the one who gave the truth, and he was the one who gave the commission. So he well understood those things. You know, energy without information, or energy without truth, or energy without instruction is just almost nothing. But truth was behind the commission. Truth was behind the instruction. And if we don't have the truth, we might have the compassion, but if we don't have the truth, we're still not going to accomplish anything. We live in a world of people that have compassion for other people when there's a situation that comes up in their life. Maybe not a spiritual situation, but a physical situation. And we should have compassion for physical things that happen and need. Such, you know, we see the fires that took place in California a couple of weeks ago and how the compassion of people was expressed in trying to help those people. And whether there's floods or tornadoes or wherever it is, people will respond with compassion. And those are good things. And still things of way to help people in a physical way. But what we need to have is the compassion of the spiritual, the mind of Christ. Yes, he was willing to help people in a physical way, but the most important was having the truth to plant or to fulfill that compassion that he had. And so Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, the life, and no one comes into the Father except through me or by me. He understood who he was, and that's what we're trying to help people to understand, who Jesus is, who he is, and what he has done. But Jesus also understood the plan and the commission, and he gave that commission. And that commission was to go into all the world. That commission was to take the gospel to all people. And so Jesus gave this commission. And in Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians, the third chapter, in verses 10 and 11, we can see as Paul speaks about that commission, as Paul relates that commission to them, Paul writes, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Paul is reiterating the point of the commission and how the commission was going to be taken carried out, that it is now through the church. And how is this? As he concludes that, in accordance with the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. There in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The church has the responsibility. It's the church that must have the compassion. It's the church that has been given this commission. No one else. No group of people apart from the church has been given the commission, and no group of people apart from the church has the authority to take the gospel into this world. That was the plan. That was the plan from eternity. And so when we think about being a mission-minded church or a mission-minded congregation, we are fulfilling the very eternal plan that God had for the church and that Jesus established as he gave that. Jesus said he was the truth, and that truth was preached, and that truth was taught throughout by the apostles, and then, of course, by other Christians as they went out. They were fulfilling that commission. And if the church doesn't do it, if we don't do it, if you and I don't do that, if the congregations that we're a part of do not teach the truth and then take that truth out to other people, it's not going to be done. The denominations cannot do it. They exist without the authority of God. So they can't do something that God has not authorized. And in the second place, they don't even have the truth. They don't even have the message, the complete message. So how big of a burden or how big of a responsibility is this? It's a great responsibility that Ninth and Main has, that other faithful congregations in the area have, that other congregations of the Lord's church that are wanting to follow his will have in Arkansas and in other places as well. So we've got to have the mind. But also we're taught in the Bible and in the New Testament specifically, we need to be thankful. We need to be a people who are thankful. Thankfulness. Thankful for the spiritual things that have been given to us. Thankful for the blessings that we have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. There Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every or all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's the reason the truth, and Jesus is the truth. Because all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Now, we need to be thankful. Thankful that we have these spiritual blessings. Thankful that someone taught us the gospel. Thankful for my parents and the way that they reared me and taught me and trained me from the time I was a child. And whether it was your parents or a neighbor or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a coworker, we should be thankful for the people that have taught us the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they took seriously that having that compassion for one who was like a sheep without a shepherd. But we need to be thankful for that, because all of these blessings are found in Christ. We read that just a few minutes ago in Ephesians chapter 2. And as there in Ephesians chapter 2, in the reading it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love that he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised up together and made us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Thankful, not because we have earned that salvation, not because we merit that salvation, not because of who we are as an individual, we're from a certain family or we're from a certain culture of people or we're from a certain nation. These things have nothing to do with it. It's all about the gospel and a person receiving that. And so we need to be thankful for that. And thankfulness causes us to recognize the blessing of the gospel, the message, and what God has done for us. But we can also be thankful for things that we have or how it is for us in our life. We can be thankful that we for the blessings or the things that we have in this country, how blessed we are, how much we have in comparison to others. If you've ever gone to another country, maybe to say Mexico or some other country, you'll be thankful. You'll be thankful, especially if you go out into the country, if you go into small towns. You'll be thankful for what you have as a Christian. You'll be thankful for what you have as an individual. And, you know, it's so easy to sometimes take all of these things for granted. But we need to be thankful always for what we've been given and the blessings that we have. Now, sometimes it's just a matter of resources, and we have the resources. It doesn't make us better than anyone else in the world. It's just simply that we have resources that they do not have. One of the first things that if you go on a mission trip and you might go to a small town in Mexico, or you go into somebody's home, you go into maybe even a public place, one of the basic things that you may take for granted, there's no toilet seat. No toilet seat. Because that's a luxury. That's a luxury. And it's one of the first things you might notice if you go into the restrooms or the bathrooms, or whether it's in a public place or a home or in somebody's home or the church buildings. Because that's a luxury. Be thankful for what you've got. Be thankful for that. And God has blessed us. I know I've met in church buildings that didn't have them and didn't even have water at times. Sometimes some places a truck has to come and deliver the water. And maybe the truck didn't come to deliver the water because that person was doing something else. And there's no water for the restroom. Or maybe the way that you have to flush it is you have to go get the water out of a bucket and flush it. Things that we take for granted that they live with in many places around the world. One place in Matamoros, or just out of Matamoros, and a congregation that has never, a building that has never had electricity. The electricity ends before it arrives to the building. So they can only meet when there's light that's coming in through the windows. No lights inside, no electricity, no PowerPoint. No place to plug in and charge your cell phone. We take for granted so many things, and we need to be thankful. Because every Sunday, every first day of the week, every Lord's Day, there are brethren around the world meeting in places that are very difficult. If you were here the first hour, I showed a picture of a congregation in Cuba that meets under a tree. They don't have a physical place to meet. There's others. So as Christians, we need to be thankful, always be thankful to God for the spiritual blessings that he's given to us, but also the physical things that we have, because we happen to be born to this country, in this country, or maybe brought to this country. Thankfulness is a part of having the mind of Christ as well. He was thankful that he could go to the cross. He gave thanks for the elements as he established the Lord's Supper because he could go to the cross and he could be the sacrifice. He didn't. There were times, of course, when it was difficult for him, and he prayed that, you know, that if this, for this cup not to pass, or wouldn't have, if he wouldn't have to do it. But ultimately, he was thankful to be able to go to the cross. But I want us to think about a third thing in kind of closing this morning. We need to have the mind of Christ in the sense of having that compassion, understanding the truth, and understanding the commission that's been given to us. And also we need to have that thankfulness within us. But also, we have to live beyond our culture. Now, that's true of us, even in the United States, whether on a daily basis. We've got to live beyond our culture. Our culture is telling us to do certain things. Our culture is forcing us or trying to compress us to do certain things or to live certain ways and to have certain attitudes and to have certain thinking. But Paul said in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1 and 2, that we need to live beyond the culture. We don't need to be conformed to this world, but we need to be people who are transformed. And so individually, we as Christians live with that on a daily basis. But when you think about taking the gospel into all the world, we've got to live beyond culture. We've got to live beyond our own personal culture. Because in the church, there are no boundaries. Yes, we live according to the laws of the land, and we respect the laws of the land. We try to follow the laws of the land. But beyond that, there are no boundaries. When we cross into Mexico, we go to another country, there are brethren. There are brethren. It's not there. We're the American brethren, and then there's these brethren. And if we go feeling that way, and if we ever go with that attitude, you probably won't go back. But when we go, and you are our brethren, we are one in Christ. We are preaching and teaching the same message. We're preaching and teaching the same gospel. You are doing a wonderful job preaching the gospel, the truth. When we understand that we live beyond our culture, individually in our own country, but also in respect to taking the gospel into all the world, it'll help us in that respect. And it'll help us because then we'll have the mind of Christ. Remember, Jesus passed through Samaria. In John, the 4th chapter, nobody else was going to go through Samaria. But when he went to Samaria, he treated that woman as a person. He treated that woman without culture. Now, she was expecting him to treat her in a different manner. But he was living beyond culture. And in a sense, we have to do that. We have to do that as well. The church knows no boundary. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 47, they that gladly received the word, and in verse 41, but then also those that were being saved were added to the church daily, added to the church without boundaries. We respect the laws of the world that we live in. We respect the laws of different countries that we go into. We don't want to do things to violate those laws. We want to do what God says. But as far as when we relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we relate to people and other our brothers and sisters, there are no boundaries. We are one with them. I said we want to do things according to the law. In the first hour, I mentioned and showed some photos, and there was a photo there of one of the congregations in Cuba. It was really might have looked like a church building, but it was really a house. And when the three of us walked into the house, the preacher met us. And the first thing he did, he handed us a little booklet that was the Constitution of Cuba. He said, I want you to know what you can do and what you can't do. He didn't want any problems. He didn't want us to have any problems with the government. He didn't want us to do things that we shouldn't do. And as long, legally, we couldn't preach. And so that's not how it was handled in this manner of standing up and preaching. But they could ask us questions, and we could answer those questions, whether it took 2 minutes or whether it took 30 minutes. We could answer the question. And he wanted us to know that. And that was important. And that's important wherever we go. But our brethren are our brethren. And as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, as 27 and 28, about putting on Christ, And that those who have put on Christ are no longer Gentiles, they're no longer Greeks, they're no longer Jews, they're no longer servants or slaves, they're no longer free. We don't relate to one another in the spiritual kingdom in that way. And sometimes there is a danger, even in the church, even in congregations. Well, this person has this job, this person has this level of education, this person has this training, and then we bring it into the church, and we begin to relate to one another in that way. When in reality, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, equal with one another in the sight of God. When we have a mindset that helps us to live beyond culture, it'll help us to fulfill Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. And it'll help us as we, even if it's just sending funds or funds to help another congregation or another a preacher in another country, that it'll help us to recognize that we don't have power over them. We're supporting them. We're helping them. And if we can help them in more knowledge, great. And if we can help them in teaching and training or in evangelism, great. But they are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. The mind of the church, the mission mind of the church, the mission mind of a congregation. We have the mind of Christ, that compassion. That compassion that's guided by truth, that compassion that's not just guided by truth, but it's also carried out in a commission. We have that mind of Christ that causes us to be thankful for that what we have spiritually and that what we have, which we have physically or materially as well. And then the mind of Christ that will cause us to live beyond our culture. As we do it here, upon this earth, as we do so on a day-to-day basis, as you go to school or you go to the university, you go to work or you interact with your neighbors, or whether we're talking about helping people in another culture, in another country, in another part of the world, know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to live beyond our culture in order to take the gospel into this world. A hindrance has always been, I'm just living within my little culture. Maybe there's someone here today, maybe here, that needs to respond to this gospel we've been talking about. As Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And if you today are ready to respond to that, if you're ready to respond to the words of Peter, as he told the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that they needed to repent of their sins and be baptized for the forgiveness or the remission of their sins, then they would receive forgiveness. Then they would be able to be added to the church, as we see in that same chapter. Maybe there's someone here that would like to do that or would need to do that today and respond in that way. I know the brethren here, Brother Bonner and the elders, they certainly will be willing to help you and aid you and assist you if you respond for that purpose this morning. Or for some other purpose, they're here as well. Let's all stand and sing. And if you need to respond, we invite you to do so.